Welcome to another episode of LP2SP with Danny and John.
Yeah, John. Large popcorn and two slushies.
Yeah, and we're back. And what are we talking about today, John?
So today we're talking about Raya, the Last Dragon.
Ooh.
So did you guys watch it yet?
I watched the first half of it. And I got to say, the second half was in the background. Okay. But I got the gist of it.
Okay. So and then, sounds like you partially watched it then.
Yeah. And you said, did you guys watch it? We have a special guest on LP2SP.
Yeah, welcome. Our special guest today is the Peter.
Hey, hey.
He's our old college roommate from back in the day. So it's good to have him. He's here as a producer and just all around commentator for us.
I think we're going to call him Producer Pete. I like
is
that name.
Is that the settled name that we're going to go with? Our unofficial name for the Peter is Producer Pete.
Yeah, I think we're going to try out Producer Pete, but it's going to be tough for me because I'm so used to calling him the Peter.
The Peter.
Yeah, the Peter.
All right, so yeah, definitely going to be an exciting episode. We have a new guest, so another opinion, so should be exciting for you guys. But I mean, Raya is a great movie, guys. It just to give you a quick synopsis, it's a new Disney Plus movie. It's on as a premium only at the moment, so you have to pay $30 extra to get access to it. Well, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. Long ago in the fantasy world of Kumandra, humans and dragons lived together in harmony. However, when a sinister monster known as the Druun threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. Now, 500 years later, those same monsters have returned, and it's up to a lone warrior to track down the last dragon and stop the Druun for good.
Sounds compelling.
Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm very excited now. Yeah. I watched. Are we getting into the review now? The review
portion? Let's talk about what are your thoughts on it.
Yeah, like the first thing that struck me, because I didn't know anything about this movie, right? And the Soul and the other Disney properties that came out on Disney Plus, I feel like they got a lot more promotion, because I didn't see much about Raya and the Last Dragon, but until our friend John here purchased it, and when we watched, when I watched the beginning of it, I was struck. The first thing I was struck by is the animation. The animation is incredible, like just the detail in it, and you can just see how much time and effort was put into it. And then another thing that was really cool about it was the action scenes. The action scenes in animated movies usually they don't like clunky. They don't really look that good, but in this movie it was really smooth. You can really see the just the level of animation, how much better it's gotten. Is unbelievable. Like every year it seems like they make leaps and bounds, and this one it's unfortunate we don't get to see it on the big screen, but just at home you can see just the colors, and I really enjoyed the visual aesthetic look of it. And then the story, for me it was kind of formulaic, but I gotta admit it still got me. It still tugged at my heartstrings. And
you have those, Danny?
Yeah, I have a little bit of those, a couple of them. even though you can see it coming a little bit, the beginning, I don't know if we're doing any spoils here, John, but there's a pretty dramatic scene in the beginning that changes the course of the movie.
Yeah, go
what'd
for
you,
it.
You, yeah, well, no, let's,
honestly,
let's
I think it's really beautifully animated, probably one of their best so far. I think, you know, it isn't one of their musicals. So, I mean, obviously, it's to reach a different audience other than, I guess, people that enjoy like Frozen and stuff like that. But the cast is really, the voice casting was amazing for this film, I think. And I think it has beautiful representation of Southeast Asian culture. I know a lot of people criticize the voice cast, you know, having mostly East Asian, but I think, you know, it's a positive representation of Asian cultures. And I think at this kind of like time in, you know, our history, it's kind of good to have that kind of more positive aspects of Asian culture being represented in media.
Overdue.
Yeah, I think Awkwafina was really great as Sisu, the dragon, and had great comedy effect, but also, you know, I think she did a great job. You know, it didn't seem very distracting that, you know, there were, you know, these people that we've known in other roles coming in to voice these characters.
Yeah, I like Awkwafina and everything that she does. I like her sense of humor. Yeah. And she's a perfect voice actor because her voice is so distinct. It really stands out, that like gravelly, you know,
yeah, voice. It really does work as a dragon for some reason.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, she definitely brought the comedy. And I liked it a lot. I had to do like work, so I couldn't finish the second half of it. Mm-hmm. But I got the gist from the first half. And I usually, animated movies, I every year it seems like I get less and less into them, but I really enjoyed Soul, and I enjoyed this one as well from what I saw.
Yeah, I like the story overall. I mean, it does play out pretty formulaically, but near the end it plays out a little differently compared to other Disney movies. I mean, it still preaches the same thing about coming together, and you know, but I think overall I think this is a really good job. I probably gave it a 10 out of 10, to be honest.
Oh wow, John. Yeah. Is that your first 10 out of 10?
No, I've given other 10 out of 10s, but I think this is well deserving of it.
Wow. Okay.
John, what other 10s what other 10s did you give for what were the other films that you gave 10s for?
Films, I think I gave something close to that for Ragnarok. I think any like Taika Waititi film probably got like a 10 almost from me. I'd say probably like Christopher Nolan, like his Batman, like Dark Knight was a 10 for me. So I don't give 10s very often, but if I feel like it's deserving, then I'll give it 10.
And John, you know, you reminded me of when you talked about Thor Ragnarok was, you know, our last episode, we talked about the Marvel trailers that we're excited for. And I'm really excited for now doing the Captain, the Winter Soldier, because or the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because I went back and looked at some of the old Marvel movies just like real quick. And that got me a little excited for it. So, we're going to start reviewing that show when that comes out pretty soon now, right?
In a week or so? Yeah, for sure. It's coming out mid-March, so definitely you guys should be excited for that review coming up, because we might even have some guests coming on, maybe Justin, another friend from back in the day. So it should be exciting. Definitely should be exciting to also see what phase 4 for MCU has to offer. Because, I mean, it's basically starting off to see which direction the next leg of the Marvel Universe is going to take us. Because, I mean, Captain America is kind of not in the picture anymore. So it's interesting to see how they will keep that kind of franchise interesting to us.
Yeah, maybe new faces, new actors.
Yeah, definitely, Peter. I agree. What were your feelings overall? I know, Peter, you haven't seen much of it, but what were your initial instincts on it?
I like how they use the Kumandra. The way I see it, you had a Ku, the K, right? Korea, maybe. And then you had a An, like Japan. And then you had a Dra, like Sumatra in Indonesia. And then maybe the M, you know, for the Kumandra, the maybe that's Vietnam. So I suppose it's an ode to all the Asian countries, just to mix and match and then put that country together. So I kind of like that. That was pretty creative. It sounds like a real place.
That's an interesting thing that you brought up, though, because throughout the movie, you can see influences from, like, I know for me, I saw influences from Indonesia and Thai. Like, when they were fighting, I could see, like, you know, influences of, like, Thai boxing. You can see, like, their arms going up and, like, leg kickings and, you know, like, the weapons also influenced by Southeast Asian culture. So it's really nice to see. Like, even like the character, like, which is like a giant roly-poly character,
yeah,
that, probably is like designed to sell like lots of plush dolls. His name is Tuk-Tuk, sure. Yeah, which basically means taxi, like little, you know, small taxi in Thailand. So,
yeah, Tuk-Tuk is one of those characters that, if your kids see this movie, they're definitely going to want a Tuk-Tuk toy, yeah, as soon as they see it.
How really, do you really describe a Tuk-Tuk? It's like a roly-poly mixed with a bear? Or
it's like a roly-poly that's big enough that you can ride, right?
Yeah.
It's like a...
But he had like fur on him, so...
Maybe also, armadillo?
Yeah, armadillo mixed with a puppy mixed with the roly-poly, I guess.
So did they end the movie in a way there where there'll be a sequel, you think? Or is this just a one movie deal?
I think it's a one movie deal. I think it ended really nicely. Like, yeah, it could. I mean, if they wanted to explore more, like, the world was really kind of expansive and all the characters were really neat. So if they wanted to, I suppose they could, but they also ended in a way that it didn't seem like they needed to make sequels necessarily.
Right. So this is what the audience really wants to know, is that they understand it's a good movie, but is it worth that $29.99?
So that's why I said that it is a 10 out of 10, mainly because I thought that even with the high price tag, I think, you know, people will come away thinking that it's worth it. That's why I gave it the rating that I gave it.
Hey, you guys, yeah, I can see. Did you guys see the advertising on YouTube or anywhere? You know how you mentioned earlier, Danny, that there just wasn't any advertising that you saw? I didn't see any advertising, too, until John brought up the movie. And that day, I actually saw there was a advertisement on a bus. So I was surprised to see that. I'd never heard of it, too.
Yeah, I just don't think they spent as much money advertising. I'm sure they did. There was more of a, you know, there was, of course, they spent a good amount of money on it, but not compared to, I feel like, the other properties. But one thing that they did do.
Huh? So we lost Danny, but I'm sure he'll come back. But yeah, so I don't know how much they promoted it in relation to like others. Like, I know that they, I don't know. I think I haven't seen a lot of promotions for Soul either, though.
How did you find about these two movies?
Well, I found out about it through like TikTok, and I saw like on TikTok they had a they had some promotion on there. So, and I also have, you know, Disney Plus, so I saw it on there as well.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
Hold on. Let's pause for a little bit, see if Danny can come back.
Okay.
And Danny's back, so this is good. Yeah, some minor technical difficulties, but Danny is back, so the world is, you know, restored as much as Commander is, so.
Is this Danny you speak of?
Yeah, so you're talking about how you didn't feel like the promotion was as much as other films, right, Donnie?
That's right. It wasn't as much. But one thing that they did, which was smart, was that they premiered it at the same time as the WandaVision finale. So, and they, you know, what they do is they put it up right in the front, like in a big banner. So, like, you can't miss it, right?
Right.
So that was smart, because that's on the night where everyone is going on Disney Plus to see that finale. And I'm sure a good amount of them purchased it. I'm sure they did, because the theater receipts were not that great, but of course, the times we're living in, you can't expect much from the theater gate receipts, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. They can save on advertising by advertising on their own platform.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, in general, all these releases come, you know, at very, they've timed them so that one ends as soon as another one starts. Like, you can see, like, all these upcoming, like, Marvel series, like, as soon as this next Winter Soldier and Falcon and the Winter Soldier ends, then the next one, Loki, is going to start, so.
Like right before someone's billing cycle.
Yeah. It's like, oh, damn, I think I just need to just keep it up for another month. Yeah.
And so. It's only going to increase as time goes on. You're going to need more Marvel properties and you're going to see a lot of Star Wars properties to drop in. Yeah. So that's going to make anyone hard to cancel their Disney Plus subscription. And I think you'll see them slowly raise that price like Netflix has to keep you on that hook and that good stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I justified the rating. I think it's enough so that it will justify people buying it. But you know,
so another
movie it is a pretty steep price to pay, to be honest.
It is. I think it makes sense though if you have a lot of kids, because your kids will watch it like 10 times in a row. You know, kids can get the most out of it. Another movie that I don't think anyone should pay $29.99, even if it was possible. I wouldn't pay any money for it, but it was a nice like reminder of a movie that I loved, which was Coming to America. Did you see the part 2 that came out, John?
Yeah, I saw it. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't a good movie by any means, but it was like a feel-good movie, and it was a good family film. And if you were a fan of the old film, then you know, which was a classic, then you probably enjoyed it because there was a lot of references.
I disagree, because I was a fan of the old film and the references were cool just to see it, but it was also depressing to see those guys at that age. Just kind of, I mean, if they had done a sequel in their, you know, in Eddie's prime, in Arsenio's prime, I'm sure it would have been, you know, it would have been great. But Eddie at this age, and it's just not the same. And I felt like, I don't know, like when you make it's kind of like the juice of the Dumb and Dumber when they made part 2 of that when they were older. It's not the same when they're old.
But here's the thing, like magic. The way I looked at it was like Dumb and Dumber when they made a remake, it was really bad. But I mean, at least this one was like, I felt like it was watchable, but you know. The Dumb and Dumber remake just should never have been ever.
I kind of feel like this should never happen either, but I can admit that when compared to Dumb and Dumber Part 2, Dumb and Dumber or whatever it was called,
Dumber.
This was a lot better because it did have like a lot of cool cameos, and I thought Wesley Snipes was pretty good in it. I liked his.
Yeah, it had a lot of cool cameos, and it does portray like Black people positively, so I know it's important to like have some good representation, and I think, you know, this is pretty positive overall. You know, I if it didn't have any relation to the original one or any of the cast members, which was, you know, just like a glowing like list of like all the best and like you know, Black actors and actresses and artists in general, like probably this story would probably be like a rated 3 or 4 to me, like out of 10, because it just isn't. That, yeah,
just the fact that I had the god Morgan Freeman in it, that gives it a point right there.
Yeah, so you like give it a point for Morgan Freeman, all the references to Coming to America, you know, the fact that they got you know, the same a lot of the same actors in from the original film, minus, you know, the people that passed away and sister and the Soul Glow guy. But you know,
one part that I did enjoy was the funeral that they did for the living funeral at the end.
Yeah,
but Mr. Darth Vader,
yeah, James Earl Jones
has a special place in our heart as the guy who always starts.
Honestly, it's good to see him in more roles, just, you know, because he is getting on in age.
Yeah, and but he's always great. He's always the boss in any movie he's in.
Simba.
Yeah. he was Mustafa's voice?
Yeah, he's Mustafa's voice. Right?
Yeah.
Simba, you are my son.
And this, you know, the what the lion, Raya and the Last Dragon, Raya. Reminded me of Raya. I always messed it up. It reminded me, there's an early scene that is very similar to an early scene in Lion King.
Oh, you mean like with the father throws her off the bridge?
Yeah, it has that whole father trope of like, I got, you know, the father, spoiler alert, father dies
early on. Too late, Danny.
In case John didn't ruin it by saying throws the kid off the bridge. I mean, I wasn't going to go that far. But,
Man, it doesn't really ruin much, though, in the movie. I mean, it's so early on.
Right. I thought that was those are tropes for a reason. They work, right? And it works. Like, it gets you invested in the movie.
Father sacrificing the daughter. I mean, father sacrificing himself. Like, exactly, go on.
The way they did it, it was just beautifully done, and so I'm sure it was affecting the most people. It was a page right out of mind. Right from. Yeah.
He was just tired of trying to reunite everyone. So. Yeah.
What pissed me off though about that part was that he could have got up if he really wanted to. I feel like I know he got injured, but like. He's like talking to in any movie when this happens, it really bothers me. It's like, instead of talking to the person for like 10 minutes, just move a little to the left, you know, stand up. You know, it's like in Titanic when at the end, Jack.
And he just loves finding these loopholes though, trying to break apart the movie.
Well, it's like in the end of Titanic, right? Jack is laying there in the water. Like, look at that slab of boat wreckage. It's big enough for both of them.
Yeah.
Why is she just laying there?
So, you know what? This has been actually a controversy for like the longest time. Yeah, but James Cameron actually addressed it. So like basically that floating wreckage is enough. So they actually calculated this, that floating wreckage was enough to keep her submerged above the water. But if they were both on it, they could be floating, but they would be like a little bit under the waterline. So then they would still be freezing.
But the question is, would she have known that done this calculation in her mind? No.
No, she really just wanted him to die. So
you would have to test it out. Yeah. Like, I understand James Cameron. I should never doubt him. Like, he's very exacting in his movies. And I'm sure he did these calculations. Yeah.
But from what we saw, there was space.
There was
from the viewer's angle, there was plenty of space. Yeah.
So this wasn't quite that bad and blatant, but I don't know. I feel like that could have moved out of the way. You know, I think he wanted to go down as like that way. Maybe he wanted to
inspire him.
Yeah.
And he also wanted to die in a cool pose. So.
Yeah, that pose. Yeah. I would. Hey, you know what? He got to go out as a statue. You know, most people don't. You know, there's no statues built of them, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're like. Your Kobe or Shaq or something,
and it's not a statue in like a compromising pose, it's like in a prayer pose. So
that's godly. Peter, what do you think of that scene? Am I lying?
Yeah, I felt the same way. I thought there was enough space for both of them.
Oh, you're going Titanic? Yeah, there's plenty of space.
And for remember we were talking about how
they talked about it in Mythbusters. I'm telling you, it was busted. Okay.
Hey, Kate Winslet didn't watch that episode of Mythbusters.
Huh?
She could have tried the Kate Winslet's character in that movie. She never saw that episode of Mythbusters.
I know, but I'm just saying they addressed it. It's actually a big controversy in like the film community because they're like, no, I don't believe it. even it was so big that James Cameron had to come on to like Mythbusters and then talk to people. It's like, look, I know you guys have problems with this. I'm here to address it after so many years.
Hey, John, did you think Avatar was good? One, and do you think that, are you excited for the sequel or you're like, whatever?
I thought it was good. I think it was overhyped for me because everyone that watched it saw it on IMAX 3D and stuff like that. And I didn't get to watch it like that. I think people that did watch it like that, they're like really blown away. So having not had the chance to do that, watch it like that, to me, it's just like, it's a good movie. But for me, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is the most amazing film experience since like, I don't know, Jurassic Park or something like that.
Yeah, for me, it was like an amazing film experience because I did like what you said. I went on opening night. I watched in IMAX, and then the 3D was novel at that time. You know, we hadn't seen like a 3D done that well.
One that actually embraced it that well.
Yeah, it was, you know, James Cameron at his finest. And I also had like, I remember what I was eating. I had the popcorn. It was perfect with the, I got the M&Ms. I poured them in there. Have you ever do that?
No.
The little M&Ms in that hot popcorn, mix them around.
So you perfect, like really remember everything from this experience.
Oh yeah, perfect amount of butter and chocolate at the same time. Put it in. Oh, it was a great movie experience. But afterwards, since that, then I like, if I try to watch it on TV, you know, it's always on like TNT or something. I can only watch like 10 minutes. I'm like, this wasn't that good. But in the theater, it was an experience. It was different, you know. It wasn't the normal movie.
So I guess I love that, Danny. You kind of have the same experience as me, like having watched it without that first experience. Like it's kind of just the normal movie experience if you haven't had like seen it in 3D and right. IMAX. What are you going to say, Peter?
Oh, just I was going to say that I love that, Danny. You just described the whole experience of being in a theater. There's a difference. I don't know if it's the energy in the crowd, the audience, and just the whole the set and setting. You have to drive. It's a journey, you know? You have to get inside your car, find
completely
parking.
Agree with you.
And when you get there, you're relieved that you have your seat and you're there in time. You got your nice popcorn, your drinks, your slushies. You're all set. Yeah.
Part of the reason why Danny hates Dunkirk is because he had someone.
what happened?
He had a terrible experience. What happened?
So, hey, let's not spread out rumors out there that I hate Dunkirk. Christopher Nolan, man. You know, I love Christopher Nolan's movies.
I know, but you had a bad experience in the theater.
I did have a bad experience in the theater.
I think you were dying. And there's someone annoying there.
Yeah, so much of it is the experience of the movie. And you know what really made me realize like how important it is? To have that crowd and that energy that crowd brings when you watch a movie, because any one of you guys' best movie experiences, I guarantee you it was a packed house, or at least it was like a good amount of people in there, and people were really into the movie. They were laughing or they were applauding, right? And what really made me realize how like important that is also is we've seen this past year with the pandemic, when you watch a sporting event, you know, watch an NBA game, watch a Laker game, it's not the same without a crowd. It's just not as exciting, and I didn't realize how much a crowd brings to a piece of entertainment until now that it's missing. You know, I really miss it. You guys feel the same?
Yeah. The crowd energy makes a difference.
You bring up a really interesting point. I just want to throw in here too. It makes me think a lot about sporting events, how the crowd can change the outcome of the match, especially with the prayers. You know.
It can throw people off and also make them that much more amped for like the.
And you know what the biggest thing is that it's proven, like studies have been done, the crowd influences the referees. So when you're at home, you get more calls because the referees are afraid to, like, you know, they make a call against their team, they get booed right away, you know, they get cussed out. So they're more likely to make calls for the home team. So the crowd definitely has an impact.
So, you know, hopefully things get back to normal.
Yeah, with that experience.
This has been an interesting year to examine all that, because how else would you have ever known this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think though when things are back to normal, people are going to really appreciate more and hopefully talk less, especially when I'm watching Dunkirk, not, you know, in my ears. But maybe to the other side.
John, do you miss the theaters too?
Honestly, over this quarantine, I don't think I've missed that much, just because they haven't had that many releases, so it hasn't been like many movies that I've been really like thinking like, wow, I really wish that the theaters were open so I could watch this on that. But If they had some more movies, then for sure I'd miss it.
What do you think was the best release last year?
Since quarantine?
Yeah, since quarantine. So maybe home viewing.
Good question. I don't know. How about you, Danny? I liked like Onward. I liked that movie. It got like a partial release and then was later on put directly onto I thought that was a good Pixar release. Soul was pretty decent too, but you know, for me, Onward was still much better. A lot of the other films, like, you know, films that we thought would be really good, like Wonder Woman 1984, they didn't really do really well, critically. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Oscar movies, because I know the so the Oscar nominations, guys, it comes out Monday, early Monday morning, they're gonna announce it. And I have, you know, I watched the Golden Globe Awards, but when I watched it, I realized I had barely seen any of these movies. And so I started, you know, watching a few of them. I thought The Trial of Chicago 7 is really good. It's one that I would recommend. It's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, it's there. And it's kind of controversial. Some people take, because some people are like, yeah, this movie is, but I thought it was really good. And Sacha Baron Cohen's performance in it is electrifying. He's like so charismatic. It's worth watching just for him. And then the other one that I saw that I thought was really good is on HBO Max. It's called Judas and the Black Messiah. That was some of the best acting that I've seen this year. Daniel Kaluuya in that movie, he better win an Oscar. I know he won the Golden Globe. His performance is incredible. So those two movies so far that I've seen, that I'm pretty sure at least one of them will get nominated for Best Picture. Those two I'd recommend.
Yeah, so upcoming, we'll do definitely like an episode on like possible winners for Academy Awards coming up.
Yeah.
So that should be exciting.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun to go through. Once we see the nominations, we'll probably go through each Best Picture nominated film and give you a review on that and what we think it should be the Best Picture.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll have reviews, also written reviews posted on the LP2SP website coming up soon for also all the movies that we reviewed today. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, just continue to follow us for more updates.
Updates for the sports podcast?
Oh yeah, so sports podcast right now, we're looking for advertisers. So I had one advertiser reach out to me, John. I gotta talk to you about it offline, but we're looking for advertisers. We're at Serenity Now Pod on Twitter, at Serenity Now POD, and then on Instagram we're at Serenity Now Sports Podcast. Our latest episode, we talk NBA All-Star break, we talk preview the second half of the NBA season. So check us out on all platforms, the Serenity Now Sports Podcast.
Awesome. All right, so definitely more sports podcasts coming soon.
If you want to hear more about from the Peter, because we barely heard from him, right? Producer Pete, though, we did that whole episode with him. Tell him about that.
Yeah, we'll have full episodes with more Peter coming soon, and no, Justin.
We already did an episode with him.
Oh yeah, I mean, there was an episode on for the Daily Serenity with Peter talking about his life and sharing us with his various mysteries of his ways. So you guys should definitely check it out.
Inspiration as well.
Inspiration to get you motivated for working out. And, you know, we just talked about mental and health awareness, physical wellness. You know, Peter's all into that. So it's a good episode for anyone, you know, just trying to look for ways to better themselves and look inwards.
Okay, so that podcast is called The Daily Serenity Show.
The Daily Serenity Show. So you can find more of our podcasts at LP2SP. Thank you guys for joining us. It's been a fun episode, and we'll be back for more. Take care, everyone.
Peace out.
Bye.